In the last 2 years, we've taken decisive action to rebuild our military and restore the arsenal of democracy. This president has actually signed into law the largest investment in our national defense since the days of Ronald Reagan. And as you accept the mantle of leadership, I promise you, your commander-in-chief will always have your back. President Donald Trump is the best friend the men and women of our armed forces will ever have. It is a virtual certainty that you will fight on a battlefield for America at some point in your life. You will lead soldiers in combat. It will happen. It will happen. It will happen. It is a virtual certainty. It will happen. It will happen. Some of you will join the fight against radical Islamic terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq. Some of you will join the fight on the Korean Peninsula and in the Indo-Pacific, where North Korea continues to threaten the peace and an increasingly militarized China challenges our presence in the region. Some of you will join the fight in Europe, where an aggressive Russia seeks to redraw international boundaries by force. And some of you may even be called upon to serve in this hemisphere, in this hemisphere, in this hemisphere.
Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Liao, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And I want to thank all of you for joining in today. I know it's been a while since we last visited, and if you heard my last program, you probably know why by now. I took a brief hiatus to regroup and to get some things worked out, to get strengthened, to pray, to get recharged. So I'm back now, folks. And I want to thank all of you for your prayers. While I've been gone, I've been working on a number of topics that I'm going to be sharing with you. Over the past several months, I have been sharing a lot of spiritual topics. We've been talking about spiritual warfare and how to deal with the issues of life and struggles and basically the things that we face as we journey and navigate on the road, on the path that we have been called to walk upon. Because we have, folks, we've been called to walk on the narrow road, and part of the journey involves struggles and unexpected challenges and trials and tribulation that we didn't think that we'd ever have to face. And as we continue in this age that we're living in, every one of you that are out there, you know that things happen. Things show up, and as Christians, it's our duty to keep our faith in God, to not give up, and to press on. And that's what I wanted to say here at the beginning of this program, and that is that we need to all hang in there and press on. Again, I want to say thank you for all the encouragement and the prayers. It was greatly appreciated. And as you know, in the last program, I shared that my marriage has crumbled. I announced that in the last program. My marriage has ended. It's over. I took it to the foot of the cross, and I laid it down at the foot of the cross, and I gave it to Jesus, and he took it, and he covered it with his blood, and now I'm continuing on with my life. I took a brief hiatus because I just needed to regroup. I did have some sad moments. The disclosure that I announced in the last program did result in an emotional toll that required me to seek God, to get alone with him, and to wait upon him to get my strength back. And now I'm back, folks. Now, this program is not going to be just about me. It's actually going to be about what's going on with the United States of America and the coming war with Iran. We are watching the buildup toward war with Iran, and we're going to talk about that. This program is going to go into detail about it. I'm going to share the current events that involve Iran and the United States. I'm going to share what Donald Trump is doing, what his cabinet members are doing, what the Pentagon has planned, and what some of the people who are surrounding Donald Trump plan to do, what their desires are. I'm going to lay it all out, and we're also going to compare it to what we read in the scriptures. Now, in order to touch all of this information, it's It's going to take several programs, so it might take two programs or even three programs, but we're going to examine the coming Iran war. So I want to invite you to listen to this program in its entirety and also share it with your friends and your family members and your loved ones, because I'm going to bring to you what I am observing from the wall about the coming Iran war. I'm going to bring to you what is being said between the lines. And also, we're going to compare it to what the Bible says. We're going to talk about Iran and where we can find them in prophecy. We're also going to talk about America and where we can find America in prophecy. Because, folks, they're both in there. America's in the Bible, and the prophecies of America are in the Bible, and the prophecies about Iran are in the Bible. And I'm not talking about the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. I'm not talking about that. There are prophecies throughout the scriptures about Iran with the United States. So we're going to talk about that. It's going to take several programs, so I want to invite you to listen to these programs and share them. Again, folks, thank you for your encouraging words. Thank you for your support. Thank you for remembering Watchman's Cry so that I can continue in this calling. If you appreciate Watchman's Cry, I value the support from the Watchman's Cry family. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to the website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's switch gears now and segue into the information on Iran. And it's going to take a few programs to do it because this story is in development in real time. And every day, new reports are coming out that are adding to the concern and to the reality that it looks like a war is coming. And when we examine the details of a potential war with Iran, the way this thing is coming together does rhyme with what we read in the scriptures, which will involve the entire planet. It's going to involve the West fighting against the East. It's going to involve China fighting America and America's allies. The world's going to explode with war during the tribulation period, and it's going to climax with Armageddon, which is going to involve Iran and the United States as well as the rest of the world. And you know, folks, one of the main characters in the Battle of Armageddon is Iran and the United States. As I said a moment ago, we can find America in the Bible as well as Iran. And I'm not going to be able to touch all of it on this program because I have so much information to share. So that's why it's important to listen to all the parts of this program, because I'm going to share some things and we're going to look into the scriptures and we're going to examine what the scriptures have to say about these prophecies. Now, if you have been influenced by tradition and the evangelical philosophies of men, there's a good chance you have heard biblical interpretations involving Iran and Israel and also the passage in Ezekiel 38 and 39. There's a good chance you've heard about all of that. And we're going to talk about that as well in an upcoming program. But you know what, folks? A lot of the traditional biblical prophetic interpretation that we have been fed by the evangelicals over the years has error in it. Now, I'm not saying that end time prophecy, it's not going to happen. But what I am saying is the timing that we have been told about how it's going to play out is an error. I'm not saying that out of arrogance. I'm saying it out of biblical fact, because I'm going to prove it to you as we go into the scriptures in upcoming programs in this series. So I want to invite you to get a pen and paper, take a lot of notes, and share this program with everyone that you know. Everyone, my friends. And also make it a matter of prayer, because if these things do come to fruition, and it looks like they are, the war with Iran is going to happen at some point. Right now, we're watching the recruiting stages, the picking of the teams. We're watching the partitioning of the world as different countries choose their sides in this upcoming war. Now, when this war takes place, the United States is not going to go at it alone against Iran. It's not just going to involve the United States and maybe some of the NATO allies. Instead, it's going to involve the United States with several Middle Eastern Gulf states that are going to be on the side of the United States. And when I say Gulf states, I'm talking about Bahrain, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, as well as others. And on the side of Iran, we have Iran, Russia, China, as well as other developing allies on the Iranian side. The battle lines are being drawn. Russia is getting ready for it. China is getting ready for it. And China is wringing their fingers and cannot wait for this to happen. Neither can Russia. Because when the war begins with Iran, the United States is going to be stretched very thin in a theater that is going to dilute the resources of the United States military. The only way it can be done in a manner that will achieve the results the Pentagon has mapped out, it's going to require a draft in order to pull this off. So if you have children between the ages of 18 and 26, you need to be praying and you need to be looking at your options, because this war is a war for the New World Order. It's a war for the bankers. It's a war for the Rothschilds. It's a war for the powers that be. They want this thing. It's not about keeping America free or protecting our freedom. It's about the New World Order. It's about the military-industrial complex that likes to sell military hardware, bombs, bullets, tanks, and planes. It's about money, folks. It's also about oil. It's about the dollar. There's a lot of things that are playing a role in this. Iran has dumped the dollar. Iran has its own method of selling oil. It doesn't use the petrodollar. And it did this a few years ago. And the World Bank does not like this. The IMF doesn't like this. The central bankers do not like this. The Rothschilds do not like this. Iran is not cooperating with the New World Order. And as a result, the New World Order is going to have to do something about it. And Trump is going to be used in this as well. We're watching theater, folks. We are watching a script. We're watching the results of a laid out plan that was penned years ago. This thing did not just happen. It has been an idea for decades. John Bolton, Trump's counselor, has wanted this for years. John Bolton is one of the original writers of the Project for a New American Century, the PNAC. He's a neoconservative. For those of you that aren't familiar, that's an acronym, PNAC, for the Project for a New American Century. It was a document, a plan, a script, an agenda. It was the quest that was laid out and penned and canonized by the Pentagon for the next few decades of the plan of America, which involved the conquering of the Middle East, deposing some of the leaders at that time, and replacing them with American puppets. It was a plan that was laid out in the 1990s that involved Dick Cheney, John Bolton, Paul Wolfowitz, and a bunch of the clowns that worked for President George Bush. And when Clinton took over in the late 90s, they were still at work penning this idea in this document and laying out the plan. And Clinton followed it. And by the way, Hillary was going to follow it as well. Obama followed it. You see, folks, it doesn't matter whether they're Democrat or Republican, left or right, conservative or liberal. That's the theater that the voting public is given. That is the make-believe tale that is sold to the people to keep them anesthetized and to make them believe like they're involved and what's going on in the changes of America. When Donald Trump became president, he was touted as a populist, as a man who was going to fix things. And some of his ideas did sound very good. But in order to achieve some of his ideas, it would take cooperation with all three branches of government, with Congress, with the Senate, to pull off what he wants to do. But that's not what we are watching. We're watching chaos in the White House. We are watching a man who is behaving in a chaotic, dramatic, unrestrained fashion. He acts in a lot of different ways that does appeal to his support base. But folks, we need to see past and beyond the behavior that is on display right now, because that's theater. Now, the big question that I have is, does he do this on purpose? Is it all show? Or do the powers that be have strings on Donald Trump and they allow him to behave with a certain amount of freedom? And they allow him to do a certain amount of things, but he also has his boundaries and his instructions and the imposed limits that have been given to him by them. Donald Trump is under the control of very powerful people. I've watched it for 2.5 years, and what I see with my own eyes is erratic chaos and engineered destruction. A huge, captivating, bewitching spell is taking place in the United States of America. And you know what, folks? I believe that's true. Because when we look at the scriptures and we look at the prophecies about end time Babylon, it actually says that's going to happen. It says God is going to send drunkenness and slumber and confusion to mystery Babylon. God's people must make sure that they're not falling under the spell of the end time deception. So getting back to Iran, the players of Iran involve the East, Iran, which is Persia, Russia, China, and other allies on their side. And then on our side, we have the United States, our allies, the Europeans, and then a few Gulf states on our side. And in order for this war to be sold to the general public, the world is going to be given a reason that the war is necessary. The world is going to be given a reason why Iran must be destroyed or fought against. The citizens of Earth, which include the United States, they're going to have to be sold the reason that Iran's evil and must be attacked and destroyed. And we are already watching that happen right now. We are already watching the false reporting, the false news, and the fake excuses, the assigned blame against Iran as the reason for the upcoming war. And if Donald Trump is the president of the United States right now, that means that Donald Trump is one of the players in this deception. Folks, we need to be able to admit this. And the truth is this. If we're in the end times, the majority of us can agree that we're in the end times, which means Bible prophecy is in development. And wherever we might find the timeline where the starting gate opens up, the four horsemen are released, we're in that season. So whether the four horsemen have just been released in the last weeks or months or years, or whether they're about to be released in the next few weeks or months or years, I do believe we're there, folks. We are in the time of sorrows. We're in the time where Jesus mentions we will hear of wars and rumors of war. That's where we are. We are watching the rumors of war and war take place. So we're there. Jesus said this was the time of the birth pangs that's going to climax into the birthing of the return of Jesus. So the labor pains are taking place. The earth is groaning right now. All creation groans and travails, waiting to be redeemed. So if we are in that season, then we have to expect that the other members of the end time script, which includes the cast of characters, both tangible and intangible, both physical and spiritual, are all going to be on the stage, the world stage. If this is the case, that means that we can expect the cast of characters to include politicians that will take us to the final end time beast, and politicians who will play a role in supporting the beast, in helping the beast rise out of the sea, in supplying the fuel for the end time beast system. We can expect that to be happening right now. If we're in the end times, that means that the players before our eyes, the players that you watch on TV, the players that you know about in Washington, D.C., are part of this agenda. And if America is Mystery Babylon, and I'm pretty sure the majority of you are on the same page on this, you've done your homework, you can see this. If America is Mystery Babylon, then we can expect the leaders of America to also be part of that agenda. And right now, Donald Trump's the president. So we can't omit that. There's no way to ignore it. There is no way to say, yes, Israel is fulfilling prophecy and the peace plan of Israel is fulfilling prophecy and all these things are coming together. And however, the leader of the free world, the leader of the largest military in the world, is not part of this prophecy. And when I saw people saying that Donald Trump was Cyrus and he was John the Baptist and he was David and all these biblical characters, that went against prophetic common sense. If America is Mystery Babylon and America is going to drink from the cup of judgment, and we can read it in Revelation chapter 18 and 19, how can a prophecy be given that God is going to bless Mystery Babylon? It's either one or the other, folks. We can read about Mystery Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, in Jeremiah 50 and 51, and the way that it's written out against this nation, this end time powerhouse, it does not look like a nation deserving of God's blessing. Quite the contrary. We can read in Jeremiah 50 and 51, threw away the heritage of God. You were the golden cup in God's hand, but you threw it away. And your mother who birthed you will be embarrassed, which is Britain, the UK, Great Britain, birthed America. That's all in there. So these things are very important to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen. They're so important. Getting back to Iran, when we watch what America is about to do, leading to war, if everything else is Bible prophecy, then we have to also include that a war against Iran is also Bible prophecy or part of Bible prophecy or will be some of the dominoes and the beginnings of the narrative of Bible prophecy. All these things are coming together. The big stories that are taking place in the geopolitical realm of planet Earth involving countries and nations, all of the things taking place right now are a part of Bible prophecy because we are going to see it come together where the whole world, the kings of the world, will submit and give their authority to the beast. They will give up their sovereignty to the beast. The beast is the political system that's coming. We read it in Revelation. So the infrastructure for the BEAST system is under construction right now. When we look at all of this and we place all this on the table, the big question, is he in the Bible? In order to answer that question, we have to do something first, and that is to place him on the table as potentially being in the Bible. We can't just answer the question, nope, he's not, Nathan. If we're going to be wise and vigilant, then we have to be willing to ask that question about any major political leader. How interesting is it that when Obama was president, so many Christians said he's the Antichrist. He's the guy. He's the villain. It's him. I know it's him because the Lord told me. We went through that for 8 years. And then I remember people saying after Obama, Hillary was going to become the president. Hillary's going to win. People were willing to consider Obama because he was a Democrat. And then Trump shows up, who's a Republican or says he is. But all of a sudden, not many Christians are willing to also allow him to be one of the possible candidates for the villain. Why? Because Jerry Falwell Jr. said that he's a great leader and a spiritual, he was sent by God, etc., etc. So it can't be Trump, in spite of the way he behaves, in spite of his constant boasting and self-admiration. In spite of all that, the Christians say, not him. And while we are watching the antics of Trump, there's been a few people say Jared Kushner's the Antichrist because he's working on the peace plan in Israel and because he owns that building with the address 666 Fifth Avenue. And the Kushner family bought it in 2007 for $1.8 billion, which was a record at the time. But guess what, folks? Kushner doesn't own it anymore. He sold it to Brookfield Properties. And that deal was announced in August of 2018. So Jared Kushner is no longer associated with 666. For those who are using that as the possibility of why he's the Antichrist, it doesn't apply to him anymore. So all we have left is he's working for his father-in-law. Well, Nathan, he's a Kabbalah follower, him and Ivanka. That's true. He is. But he's not the president. Donald Trump's the president. So we have to include logic when we're looking at all of these variables, details, these facts. Getting back to the Iran war. Let's get back to that. The Iran war is coming, ladies and gentlemen. The leaders of America and the West want this war. The bankers want it. As I stated a moment ago, the military-industrial complex wants it. The lobbyists want it. They want to sell those planes. You know, the F-35 is that new super fifth-generation stealth aircraft, the Lightning, that is still mired with a lot of problems. Japan was flying one a few weeks ago and it crashed into the Pacific Ocean. They lost it. But they want to sell a lot of those planes to the world, and Trump is offering the world those planes, those jets. When we look at the chain of events that are taking us to this war, it's following a script that if we go back to the 90s, when the Project for a New American Century was formed, we would see that nothing's really changed. General Wesley Clark stated back then, and a lot of you know about this, he saw the script that the plan was for the United States to invade several countries.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to al-Qaeda?" He said, No. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." So I came back to see him a few weeks later. And by that time, we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
Donald Trump is following the script. If this has been a part of their plan, then it's going to happen because that's what they do. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth. And if we are willing to look at the truth, then the picture that we're being sold is not what we really see in reality. It's not. And America, it's rising up as end time mystery Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, that's going to be used to put a noose around the entire planet. And the citizens of Earth will hate the woman, Babylon. They're going to hate her because she rides on the back of the world, but she has all the power. And that's what's happening now as well. Have you noticed that, folks? The woman rides the beast, and the beast hates the woman and wants to kill her and burn her and destroy her. Right now, we're watching America, Trump's America, become unilateral, which means they call the shots without asking for the opinions of others. Trump doesn't care what others think. Trump does not care what NATO thinks. He doesn't care what our European allies think. He's acting autonomously. He's acting on his own. He doesn't care. He's acting unilaterally. That's what America is doing right now. And when we look at what the Bible says, that's what end time Babylon does. The woman, the great harlot, tells the world what to do. It leads. And the leader of the woman is a very stubborn person, and we can read his antics in the book of Daniel. Daniel 11 talks about it, as well as Daniel 7 and 8. The villain, the Antichrist, that guy, very stubborn, very boisterous, very boastful, very self-serving, very arrogant. We read about him in the book of Daniel. He's the leader of Mystery Babylon. Nathan, what do you mean he's the leader of Mystery Babylon? I thought that the Antichrist is going to come from Europe. Maybe you did, my friend. Maybe you did. But that's a philosophy of man. That is one of the narratives that was given to us by the likes of Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible does not tell us in the scriptures that the Antichrist comes from Europe. Doesn't. It doesn't, folks. We can read about where the Antichrist comes from in Jeremiah 50 and 51. Jeremiah 50 calls and nicknames the leader of Mystery Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has broken the bones of Israel. Nebuchadnezzar is the one who's making end time Babylon into a threshing floor, making everyone miserable. God calls the leader of end time Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. It's a nickname for the leader. So if America is Mystery Babylon, we can expect to see America behaving more and more like this creature who tells the world what to do and dictates to the world. And we can also expect that America will be steered by a stubborn person, i.e. a dictator. A dictator, folks, is going to control America in the end times. And that's another reason that I'm very concerned with Donald Trump's behavior, because most of the world is watching and noticing, by the way. You know, the whole world's watching America, and they are watching the behavior of Donald Trump. The entire world is. You can go to most nations of the world, and when you hear their opinion about it, and when you hear their scholastic writings about it in actual geopolitical autopsies, when scholastic professors compare the behavior of Donald Trump to history, and people are doing this, folks, he is following the textbook of the rise of an authoritarian, tyrannical dictator, and they're noticing it. In fact, he's following, almost line by line, in a very similar fashion, the rise of Mussolini in Italy before World War II. He rhymes with Mussolini. The way that he speaks, the way that he keeps his followers happy. Donald Trump is behaving like Benito Mussolini, El Duce. And for those of you that might not be familiar with history, Mussolini wanted to recreate Italy as the Roman Empire with himself as Caesar. So he thought a lot about himself. And because of that, he took the title El Duce, and it's the same Latin root word for the Duke. So Trump is following the same scheme, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Mussolini used to use film. He used to use movies to show to his captive audience of people who couldn't really read that well. But he was able to gather them with promises that they liked that would help their life be a little bit more cush and comfortable. He made promises, but he used propaganda. Mussolini used propaganda of the newsreel, of film. And then when Hitler rose up after Mussolini, Hitler followed the script of Mussolini and very quickly became more powerful than Mussolini. But Hitler also did the same thing. He used propaganda. He used Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda czar, to keep the people anesthetized with the opiate of promises. And the oratory skills of Mussolini and the method that he used was very similar to what Hitler used and is also very similar to what Mr. Demagogue Donald uses. They are very similar, ladies and gentlemen, very similar. So when we look at this, you know, the world's watching this, and I'm not afraid to call it what it is because it's happening before our very eyes. And if I'm proven wrong, if Trump gets impeached and he's kicked out of office in the next few years and someone else takes over, then praise God, I'll take it. I'll take it because that means maybe we have a little bit more time. But if it doesn't happen, and if the opposite happens, if Trump gets a second term, or now there's some other insane things that are being floated around right now. Insane things that I never thought I would hear from Christians or supported by Christians. It's crazy, folks. Jerry Falwell Jr. tweeted a few days ago that because of the Mueller investigation that lasted 2 years, Donald Trump deserves reparations. You know, like war reparations. When a country loses a war, they have to pay back. Jerry Falwell Jr. stated, he actually tweeted this. He said that Donald Trump had 2 years of wasted political life, so therefore he should be given 2 extra years added to his term. So his term should be 6 years. He should get 6 years. Donald Trump supported that. He also tweeted it. He hinted at that as well, that he had 2 lost years and therefore he wanted them back. Now that has been floated. How does that strike you? For a president to actually throw out to his people that he deserves 2 extra years. Therefore, in order to pull that off, what needs to take place, folks? How does that happen? Do you cancel the election and say, nope, no elections for 2 years because I want mine back? How would that be pulled off without something insane taking place? Well, that's on the table, though. And Trump is actually willing to even talk about it. And for Trump to be able to talk about it, and for his followers not to be bothered by it, where are we, folks? Where are we? There is also another thing that's been floated, and that is that some of Trump's followers are saying that even if he loses the election, he doesn't have to give up the White House, even though he loses. That has been floated as well. Now, folks, what kind of insanity is this? But this is the type of behavior and logic that his followers are starting to think about and visit. And consider. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is the script of a totalitarian, authoritarian dictator. That is the behavior of a banana republic warlord, of a king. You know, folks, that should really disturb every free-thinking American. It should. Nathan, come on. Trump's not going to do that. We're watching it happen right now. We're watching it. Nathan, what does all this have to do with Iran? It has to do with Iran because in order for the war to happen with Iran, deception is going to need to be used for this war. And Trump is not behaving in the same way that Bush did. When George Bush attacked Iraq, he was not able to get a consensus worldwide. So instead, he raised up the quote unquote coalition of the willing, where he recruited other nations to help him. You remember that, folks? But this time around, there's a lot of NATO countries that want no part of it. But Donald Trump's number two and number three guys, John Bolton. John Bolton is Donald Trump's national security advisor. Advisor, folks. He advises Trump. He advises the president on what needs to be done for national security. And John Bolton is a war hawk. He's a neoconservative, warmongering pawn of the military-industrial complex. He was one of the writers of the Project for a New American Century. He worked for George Bush. He was responsible for creating the false narrative that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and Bolton was behind that. He supported it. He supported the lie. He supported the fiction. And if we were to examine that and ask the question, is John Bolton part of the swamp? Is he a part of the New World Order? If we ask that question, what's the answer? The answer is yes. John Bolton is a swamp creature. He was one of the main swamp creatures of previous neocon administrations. He's a swamp creature. You know all those wars when Trump was campaigning saying we shouldn't be in Iraq, we shouldn't be in Afghanistan, we should not be doing those wars. Those swamp creatures just had stupid wars. I'm going to end those wars. You know, Trump campaigned for that. But then he appointed one of the chief architects of those wars. Trump appointed him as his advisor. Now, folks, come on. What kind of sense does that make? For Trump to say he's going to get rid of the swamp and drain the swamp, and then he hires a swamp creature and the main architect of the swamp? to be his counselor? Does that make sense? Do you really believe? Can we look at his words, of Trump's words when he campaigned, his promise of draining the swamp, and actually say with a straight face that he was telling us the truth? Can we do that when we see his actions? Because you see, folks, it doesn't matter what people say. We shouldn't be looking at what they say they're going to do. We should look at what they actually do. And Trump has this guy in his ear. So John, and in addition to him, he has Mike Pompeo, who was the head of the CIA. The CIA that came up with their intelligence that was false about the Iraq war. That CIA. So he has a CIA swamp creature and a New American Century swamp creature in his ear. And Pompeo and Bolton both want to invade Iran. They both want a war with Iran and a war with North Korea and a war with Venezuela. Now, folks, think about this. I know at the moment Trump is saying Kim Jong's obeying and Kim Jong's going to be a good boy and he's not going to develop weapons. And even though he did a missile test last week, he still is going to be a good boy and Trump believes him and trusts him. According to Trump, North Korea is not going to be a problem. So we're not going to have a war with North Korea. But do you believe that, folks? Do you really believe that? Just because Trump said it? So we have that going on. And then we have the drums of war for Iran. And then on top of that, we have Venezuela. Venezuela. The United States wants regime change down there. And they have sent troops to Colombia. There are several bases in Colombia as well as other surrounding countries down there. And the United States has told Cuba to leave Venezuela and to stop helping them and to stop influencing them. So it looks like eventually, at some point, we're going to have a war and our boys are going to be serving in the jungles of South America against Venezuela. It looks like that's going to be one of the theaters that's coming. So we have that developing. We have North Korea developing. We have a war against China in the South China Sea developing because of the tariffs, because of the trade war that's taking place. And trade wars often precede actual physical war. So that's taking place right now. And then on top of that, we have Iran. And Russia is going to help Iran through proxy. So we also have America going after Russia. And then on top of that, we have Afghanistan and then Iraq. America is going to be spread so thin, there is no way. There is no way that America can do all of these theaters with a volunteer military. There's no way. The only way to pull it off is with a draft. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I'm very concerned about it. And as I stated earlier, we're watching theater take place. And it's real interesting that while Bolton and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo are both touting war, Donald Trump is saying, I don't want a war with Iran. He's also stated that he wants Iran to call him on the phone and talk about it. So he'll say that one day, and then the next day, he'll say things or tweet things to the effect of, Iran better not threaten the United States or they will cease to exist as a nation. So Trump goes back and forth. One day he's saying he doesn't want a war, and then another day he'll threaten Iran. He's all over the map. In a way, you know that old strategy, good cop, bad cop? It would appear that that's what Donald Trump is doing, which makes Bolton and Pompeo the bad cop that wants war, and Donald Trump is the nice guy who says, I don't want war. But then a day later or hours later, Trump says the opposite. These things are in contradiction. In addition to Bolton, Trump also has his lawyer, Giuliani. Giuliani also wants a war with Iran. In fact, before Giuliani worked for Donald Trump, Giuliani was promoting the support for the Iranian revolutionary group, the MEK, M-E-K, which is the Mujahideen of Iran. They were previously labeled a terrorist organization and seen as a cult. They're a group of revolutionaries who want to topple the Iranian government. Giuliani and Bolton have been promoting them. And it looks like the policy of America will be to support the MEK. You know, folks, when the United States installs puppets, it never turns out well because those puppets often become worse than the people that they take over. But nevertheless, the United States has already chosen who they want to install as the leaders when they go in and have a war with Iran. And it's going to be the MEK, the Mujahideen. Folks, when we put all these pieces together, it appears that an Iran war is coming. Trump is maneuvering towards it. So while he's saying he doesn't want it, he is sending an aircraft carrier group to the Persian Gulf. The USS Lincoln is headed out there. Right now they're in the Gulf of Oman, but pretty soon they're going to be in the Persian Gulf. He has also sent B-52s to the area. And just recently, he sold $8 billion of weapons to several Middle Eastern countries. It will be members of the coalition of Middle Eastern partners to help with this war. And those nations are Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, and Jordan. Now, the UAE sits on the other side of the Persian Gulf. And if you have a chance to look at a map, check it out, folks. Get familiar with it. When you have a chance, Google the Persian Gulf. Look at how Iran is on the eastern side. And then there's smaller Middle Eastern countries on the western side. Now, Bahrain sits on the western side. And Bahrain is home to the Fifth Fleet of America. So we have warships across the Gulf from Iran. And then next to that is the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, who is also going to act on behalf of the United States in the war effort that's coming. So we're watching military war preparation take place. And these moves are seen as an escalation in Iran. Iran has responded as well. And they're not backing down. They're not afraid, because Iran stated last week, they announced that if the United States wants to be stupid and have a war with them, they have the ability to sink a United States warship. And it will go down with the people and the planes. So what they meant was they're able to sink an aircraft carrier. And they stated that they have missiles that can do it and two secret weapons. They have two secret weapons. Now, is this true? Does Iran have two secret weapons or missiles that can sink an aircraft carrier? Indeed, folks, because Russia and China have both stated that they have hypersonic missiles that go multiple times above the speed of sound. The question is, can the United States handle hypersonic missiles? Well, maybe, perhaps, they could handle one or two. But what if Iran sent five at the same time, or 10 at the same time, or 20? Are they able to pull it off? Well, a few years ago, there were war games that took place in the Persian Gulf, and it was simulated using computers in a mock drill where the United States fought Iran, had a pretend battle with Iran, and on the first day, Iran sunk our warships and our aircraft carrier. It happened again the next day. So in the war games that we have had simulating a battle with Iran, the United States didn't do too well, not in the Persian Gulf at least. Folks, this thing is not going to be good. And if the United States were to lose an aircraft carrier to Iran, that would raise the stakes. Americans would be so mad. Americans would all want to take it to the next level. In fact, there would be a push for nuclear war to explode the bomb over Iran. Would Trump do it? Yeah, I think he would. I think he is bold enough to do it, and Americans would welcome it. Or if that didn't happen, it could also be used to support a draft for Americans to all want to join to go beat up those nasty, evil Iranians. And by the way, folks, I'm not trying to be sarcastic about Iran, and I'm not trying to say that they're the good guys and America's the bad guys. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's no reason for us to be doing this. Iran is not a threat to us. When we look at the Middle Eastern countries and who we have chosen to be allied with versus the threat of Iran, Saudi Arabia is not an innocent nation. Saudi Arabia is a dictatorship. They have no religious rights there. They mistreat their people. They murder their people. They killed, recently, Saudi King Bin Salman was responsible and behind the murder of the journalist. You remember that, folks? And then when Trump heard about it, he dismissed it. So the United States is allied with murderers. And that's not to say that Iran has not supported some of the terrorist activity around the world, because they have. But Iran is not a threat to the United States right now. But for some reason, the U.S. wants to have a war with them. The question is why? It's because the next part of the script is ready to be played out, which is going to involve war and an economic crisis, a dollar crisis, and a rearranging of the New World Order, a rearranging of the new system that's going to come out of this. A new financial system that is going to fulfill Bible prophecy. So that's why those things are coming together. So it is escalating. The United States earlier deployed three guided missile destroyers to the Persian Gulf, the USS McFaul, the USS Gonzales, the USS Mason, and they joined the Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group. These things are taking place while at the same time Trump is saying we don't want a war. Also, Trump is sending an additional 1,500 troops to Iraq. And the United States has also evacuated the embassy to non-essential people. But this is concerning, folks, because the Pentagon has released by different admirals and generals and through different mouthpieces who have stated that in order for this to be pulled off, it's going to take 1 million soldiers to have a war with Iran. Another announcement recently stated that the plans are already on the table. The Pentagon has the plans for 120,000 soldiers to go into Iran. But that is not enough to occupy Iran, because other military analysts have stated that in order to invade Iran and occupy Iran, it's going to take 1 million soldiers. We don't have those numbers. In order to pull that off, it's going to take conscription, a draft. And there are others that have already stated that. Our allies have stated it. They know it. The only way we can pull this off is to have a draft. If this happens, we're talking our sons and daughters coming home in coffins or maimed or destroyed with trauma. In addition, if this war takes place, we're going to see the world economy implode, because 30% of the world's oil goes through the Strait of Hormuz. In order to leave the Persian Gulf, you have to squeeze through the Strait of Hormuz. It's just a few miles wide. And in any oil tanker that comes through the Strait of Hormuz, Iran could sink it. So the oil companies are not going to allow their oil tankers to end up at the bottom of the strait. They're not going to do that. It's going to shut down the Strait of Hormuz if this war starts, which means 30% of the oil will no longer be available. What is that going to do to prices? That's going to severely crush the world economy as we know it. It'll affect everything, folks. Food distribution, air travel, deliveries, travel by train, buses, ships is going to be affected if 30% of the world's oil is no longer obtainable. It'll cause a severe crash in the global economy and potentially crash the dollar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brethren of the faith, remnant of God, saints of God, this war is not going to just be limited between the United States and Iran. It's going to engulf the entire Middle East, and then it's also going to spread into other areas of the world. It says in the Bible that the kings of the earth will give the beast their sovereignty, the 10 kings. So something is going to happen to bring this alignment into reality. Something's going to happen, and war would certainly do that. So would a financial crisis. So I'm very concerned, folks, and it looks like all the pieces are now coming together for this war to happen. And when we look at the people that are involved in power, in government, in the White House, we have Donald Trump, the unpredictable president, at the helm. I know there's a lot of opinions about whether or not he has instructions that he has to follow, or is he operating on his own. And based on the research that I have done and we can find out there, Donald Trump listens to powerful people, and he's intimidated by powerful people. And there are powerful people telling him what to do. Very powerful. Because when he campaigned, he said he was going to drain the swamp. But we see now that John Bolton is his national security advisor, pretty much second in command. And John Bolton is, as I stated earlier, he's a member of the Project for a New American Century. But he's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a CFR member. And then we have the Secretary of State, Pompeo, Mike Pompeo. He's given several speeches at the CFR for the Council on Foreign Relations. He's written essays for the Council on Foreign Relations. And he also recently attended the Bilderberg meetings, just recently, this last one for 2019. Pompeo was there. So Donald Trump is surrounded by war hawks and neocons who want this war. And if you happen to be a fan of Donald Trump, my friend, let's look at this for the truth that it is. Donald Trump's advisor is a CFR member and a swamp creature. He has been responsible for other wars, the Iraq war. He worked for the other administrations, the Bushes. So Trump has swamp creatures around him, and Trump is listening to the swamp. And Donald Trump is going to light this world on fire with another war that is going to end up potentially wreaking havoc on everything. This could be the war that does everything, folks. World War III, destroy the American economy, destroy the American dollar, destroy the comforts that we are experiencing at the moment. This war can do it, and they have it planned to do it. They want this to happen. Now, in order for the button to be pushed to start this war, they're going to need a reason. And right now, Donald Trump is laying down the strategy of a reason. He is showing himself to be the good cop, while Pompeo and Bolton are the bad cop. And he is showing himself to not want war. And even recently, he said that he's willing to talk to Iran if they call him and they can negotiate a new truce, if you will. So whatever arrangement they come up with is going to be an arrangement that has a built-in trigger switch. So if Iran goes for it, there's going to be a trigger switch in there that will be self-defeating for Iran. Now, that's one possibility. Or there's going to be a false flag that gets this started. And the false flag will involve Iran, and it will be some event that is going to be blamed on Iran. Already, we have seen a few attempts at a false flag. Four tankers were attacked. It was blamed on Iran. And then a missile was shot into the green zone of Baghdad, and it was blamed on Iran. Landed by the embassy. It was blamed on Iran from their proxy rebels. And the United States said that if any assets of America are attacked or hurt or damaged, then that's going to get this thing started. Or if Iran tries to hurt infrastructure or our friends or our allies, it was real vague the way that it was said. But I believe that there's a very high probability that a false flag is in the works and it's going to happen. A false flag is going to get this thing started. Now, the timing of this thing is what's real interesting. If the war started right now, we have another year and a half before the election for Donald Trump. So if the war started now and by the time the election got here, we could already see a lot of dead Americans coming back in flag-draped coffins. And the citizens of America are not going to like that. And so Donald Trump could potentially lose the election if it started right now. And the reason for that is because the war would be a year and a half old. But if the war is new, if it's just happening, if the quote-unquote false flag occurs around the time of the election, then Donald Trump will be a shoo-in. Or if the false flag occurs a few months before the election and then Trump is gathering a coalition of willing allies to go help America, because then they'll have a false flag. They'll have a reason to assemble a new coalition of the willing. So the timing is what's important for Donald Trump. This is why we see him attempting to appear that he's trying to work it through. But they want this war, so the timing's real important. And I think that it's going to happen closer to the election. Now, I could be wrong, but Donald Trump needs this war to get reelected. And he needs to use it to his benefit. So the timing is real important so that he looks like a hero. So that whatever the false flag is, if it's bad enough, he will be able to rally the entire country under him. And even if people aren't on his side, or if there were never Trumpers out there that didn't like him, or if there's Congress people who have been talking about impeaching him, they'll be swept to the side, because the most important thing will be the safety and security of the United States, or at least the appearance of it. So Donald Trump needs this war. This is why it works in his favor to ignite the world into fire, because it will also take all of the focus away from the investigations that are ongoing against him. And there's several of them going on. So a war could also be used as a wag the dog type scenario to take attention away from him. Now, I don't believe that the war is Donald Trump's idea on his own. And the thing for us to see, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need to be wise. And as end time remnant Christians, we need to be very careful that we do not fall under the spell of the theater that's taking place around us. We can't fall under the spell. So when the false flag takes place and Donald Trump looks like a hero and he starts making potential mandates, if he decides to use some of the previous executive orders, he may potentially take advantage of emergency executive orders and martial law and use them to declare emergencies, to declare martial law, and to seize all the power in Washington. Trump could do a power grab if the false flag has enough impact. And it's going to be real important that we as end time Christians do not fall under the deception, because deception is going to be used. We have been watching deception take place, but it's going to increase even more. And it's real important that you as God's child do not fall under the spell of the coming deception. Because I see a deception that's going to be so powerful and so energizing that can work in Trump's favor. Everyone's going to get on board and just follow him. And folks, I want to warn against that. Because if I'm right, let's get back to end time prophecy. Let's bring end time prophecy into the equation. If my concern about Trump being the end time villain is true, then the things that are going to be taking place with this war and a false flag and him potentially declaring martial law, et cetera, could be the fulfillment of Donald Trump being the end time villain. We could actually be at that point, ladies and gentlemen, where the Antichrist is about to reveal himself. And whoa, lo and behold, it turns out to be a guy that we never thought possible. And a lot of Christians are not going to be able to handle that. They will not believe it. And if this thing comes to fruition, folks, the deception is going to be so strong that the church is going to fall under it. The church is going to be taken under it. It's going to be taken. I know that there are some of you that don't want to hear this. Nathan, this is not possible. Trump can't be the villain. Don't you know the villain's going to come from over here or over there? I understand that there have been other published ideas and well-opinionated ideas on where the end-time Antichrist villain was going to come from. I understand that. But I'm putting Trump on the table, folks, because in my opinion, he is the number one candidate. And with this war that is coming, it's the perfect evil strategy that the enemy, Lucifer, could have come up with to use in a person that the church never thought would be the one. Based on what I'm looking at out there, it's going to get real weird. Right now, the stock market is just booming. Again, it made some gains because an announcement was made by the central bank that interest rates are going to be eased. And we are seeing the bond market react in a way that we haven't seen since the 08 crash.
We also think that the problems in Europe is indicative of what's happening in the bunds market. We now have negative yields back in Germany, so their 10-year now is back to that negative territory that had us all spooked.
When something happens for the first time since 2007, people pay attention. And that's what happened on Friday when you got the inversion.
Yes.
I'm an old-fashioned bond guy. I started in the bond markets in the early 80s in London. I have lived to respect the message that the yield curve tells us. So each and every time we see an inversion of the yield curve in the United States, it's generally followed by a recession within 12 to 18 months. That's a rough yardstick. I think we should listen very carefully to the message from the bond markets, and the bond markets are telling us unequivocally, unambiguously, that the global economy is slowing right across the board in Asia, in Europe, and also in the United States. So I'm afraid I'm one of those that does respect what the bond market is telling us, and it's telling us that the US economy is slowing down sharply.
How steep will this downturn be then, if you firmly believe there is going to be a recession? And does the Fed have the ammunition to move, to cushion the economy?
I think that's the really important issue for all the financial markets. Don't forget that in 2007, coming into 2008, the U.S. federal funds rate was 5.25%, and they cut that very quickly down to zero. And they also combined that with aggressive quantitative easing. This time around, the federal funds rate is only at 2.5%, and they've pretty much abandoned, as you know, quantitative easing. We've been on that quantitative tightening process, which alarmed markets. So this time around, Christine, the central banks don't have as much ammunition as we had the last time around. And of course, the ECB and the BOJ have been stuck at zero now for some time. So they've pretty much completely run out of interest rate ammunition. And I think that's what is alarming the markets right now, Christine, is that sense that the global economy is slowing and that the central banks are losing their capacity, their ability to influence markets.
The bond market is projecting that things are not well. There are a lot of ignition points that are starting to show up. I'm here on the wall to talk about this, and I'm here to sound the alarm, and the alarm is ringing. When I was preparing the research for this program, I came across articles, essays, videos, and speeches. I found a lot of information about the coming war with Iran and how it's going to spread to other places. When I started this program, I played a soundbite from Vice President Mike Pence, and that was a speech that he gave to the West Point graduates just recently. In that speech, he basically announced that World War III is coming and it's going to ignite the entire planet. Let me play that clip for you again. Here we go, folks.
In the last 2 years, we've taken decisive action to rebuild our military and restore the arsenal of democracy. This president has actually signed into law the largest investment in our national defense since the days of Ronald Reagan. And as you accept the mantle of leadership, I promise you, your commander-in-chief will always have your back. President Donald Trump is the best friend the men and women of our armed forces will ever have. It is a virtual certainty that you will fight on a battlefield for America at some point in your life. You will lead soldiers in combat. It will happen. Some of you will join the fight against radical Islamic terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq. Some of you will join the fight on the Korean Peninsula and in the Indo-Pacific, where North Korea continues to threaten the peace and an increasingly militarized China challenges our presence in the region. Some of you will join the fight in Europe, where an aggressive Russia seeks to redraw international boundaries by force. And some of you may even be called upon to serve in this hemisphere.
All right. He said several things. Donald Trump has increased the military, has been increasing the military. Some of the biggest investments, the biggest budget since Reagan. We have watched this pattern since Trump went into office. It's not an accident that he did this. The reason that he has increased the military spending for the United States is because war is coming, and Pence admits it. Pence also made an interesting statement that I found a little revealing also. Listen to this again, folks.
In the last 2 years, we've taken decisive action to rebuild our military and restore the arsenal of democracy.
Restore the arsenal of democracy. That's an interesting term, isn't it? The arsenal of democracy. So that's going to be their rallying cry. We're spreading democracy with our arsenal. And then he went on to say that the graduates that he was speaking to would see combat. And then he went into where the combat was going to happen. He mentioned the places.
It is a virtual certainty that you will fight on a battlefield for America at some point in your life.
Fight on a battlefield for America, somewhere on the other side of the world, against a nation that may or may not even be threatening us or may have no effect on us? Is every theater that the United States has been involved in for America, or has it been for oil or for the bankers or for the Rothschilds or for the military-industrial complex?
It is a virtual certainty that you will fight on a battlefield for America at some point in your life. You will lead soldiers in combat. It will happen.
It will happen, folks. Combat. It will happen. Now, after he makes this comment, he says, you will lead in combat. He didn't say this was going to be peacetime. He said, combat. It will happen. And then he goes on to explain where.
Some of you will join the fight against radical Islamic terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Okay. Donald Trump said he was going to bring our boys home from Iraq and Afghanistan. He said that during his campaign. That was one of the reasons he got voted in. Mike Pence just said that you're going to lead combat back to Iraq and Afghanistan. So we were never leaving. They didn't plan for us to leave. They never did. The war on terror was planned out and penned out by the Project for a New American Century to last 100 years. It was never meant to be temporary. Moving on.
Some of you will join the fight on the Korean Peninsula and in the Indo-Pacific, where North Korea continues to threaten the peace and an increasingly militarized China challenges our presence in the region.
Some of you would join the fight in the Korean Peninsula. He didn't say some of you will be part of the protective team of Americans who are at the base in South Korea. He didn't say that. He said join the fight. And then he said the Pacific.
Some of you will join the fight on the Korean Peninsula and in the Indo-Pacific, where North Korea continues to threaten the peace and an increasingly militarized China challenges our presence in the region.
Fight North Korea and China.
Some of you will join the fight.
So he's admitting that we're going to fight. He's talking to graduates and he's telling them that you guys are going to fight and be in combat in your life against China. He's admitting this. He's telling us, folks. It goes on.
Some of you will join the fight in Europe, where an aggressive Russia seeks to redraw international boundaries by force.
Okay, did you hear what he said? Some of you will join the fight because Russia's redrawing the lines. Basically, Russia's invading. Russia is invading by force.
Aggressive Russia seeks to redraw international boundaries by force.
So Pence is telling us they anticipate that Russia at some point is going to use force and invade Europe for some reason. And it's going to be a battle, a fight, a war. Folks, there is no way that's a casual thing. But for Russia to invade Europe, we're talking World War III. And for the United States to be fighting China, we're talking World War III. This is not a casual speech right here. And then he goes on. Look what he says here.
And some of you may even be called upon to serve in this hemisphere.
In this hemisphere. What does that mean? That means that at some point we're going to be fighting in Venezuela, our boys, our sons and daughters, are going to be sent to South America to fight Venezuela or to fight in Nicaragua or to fight Cuba. That's coming as well.
Okay, I got about a minute left, so I'm going to ask for a quick answer here. You had a tough article in the Wall Street Journal this week in which you said that the U.S. really needs to get much tougher in Venezuela. You said we need to order Cuba to get all of their forces out of Venezuela immediately. And you even talk about the U.S. invading Venezuela like Ronald Reagan invaded Grenada. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, really. So here's the deal. We're being tested in North Korea, Iran, Syria. Assad's going into Idlib now. There's a lot of pressure on the Trump administration. Trump said rightly, Maduro is not the legitimate leader of Venezuela. The entire region supports the Trump approach that Guaido is the legitimate leader. He wouldn't be in power without 6,000 or 7,000 Cuban security forces in Venezuela. I would do exactly what Reagan did. I would give Cuba an ultimatum to get out of Venezuela. If they don't, I would let the Venezuelan military know you got to choose between democracy and Maduro. And if you choose Maduro and Cuba, we're coming after you. This is in our backyard. Trump said that he was for democracy against socialism. Right. And he's drawn a red line when it comes to Maduro. If he doesn't act, everybody in the world is going to think he's weak. If he does act, it helps us with North Korea, Iran, Russia, and everybody else.
Senator Graham, thank you. We covered a lot of ground. Thank you for sharing part of your Memorial Day weekend with us. Always good to talk with you, sir.
Folks, in order for the United States to pull that off, that's several theaters. Right now, the theater of Iraq and Afghanistan has diluted the resources of our military with one theater. He mentioned several. He mentioned the Korean Peninsula. That's one. He mentioned the South China Sea. That's another one. He mentioned Iraq and Afghanistan. He mentioned Europe. And he mentioned the Southern Hemisphere. Well, actually, he didn't say the Southern Hemisphere, did he? He said this hemisphere, which could be the Southern or the North. What are they expecting? Are we going to get invaded? As we look at this, I have been looking into and researching and trying to gather and compile the information to share with you that paints the true picture of what we're facing. And based on what I'm finding, this is not Nathan coming up with conspiracy theory or trying to assume things. This is from the vice president. He admitted what's going to happen. He admitted that war's coming. Right now, Iran has been on the news about a potential war. In the month of May, we saw it get heated. It was all over the media. Politicians were becoming afraid, and they threatened to use legislation to stop Trump from going to war with Iran. But then Trump used a loophole to sell weapons to several of the Middle Eastern allies of America, including Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the UAE, Jordan, to send defensive missile batteries. So all the Patriot missiles, all the anti-missile countermeasures are getting set up right now to prepare for this war. Also, there's another thing that needs to take place. The United States needs to take a lot of munitions and resources to the western shore of the Persian Gulf, where Bahrain is located, in the UAE, and Qatar. And they need to offload as much as possible, because once this war starts, it's going to be very difficult for American naval ships to go into the Persian Gulf and through the Strait of Hormuz. It's going to be difficult. So right now, there's logistical distribution of munitions taking place. It's taking place right now, folks. They're getting ready. So when the war starts, then the ships will be operating from outside the Strait of Hormuz, outside the Persian Gulf, in the Gulf of Oman. They will be doing their sorties from there, or they will also be doing it from the bases that are on the western shores. But based on the papers that I have read from the military knows that the ability to go through the Strait of Hormuz into the Persian Gulf is going to be limited at the onset of this war, until the United States can destroy all of the missile batteries and sweep the entire Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz for mines. And that could be a while. Iran could be getting ready for that right now as well. And I have some articles that have been written by our U.S. military and some military analysts and professors that explain how the war is going to take place and the effect it's going to have on the planet, on the economy of the world, on the United States. The war that's coming is going to have a huge effect on all of us, folks. And this program is already getting long, so I'm going to share that in part two of this series. In part two, we're going to look into the different possibilities of how this war is going to transpire, the Iranian war, and then how it's going to spread throughout the Middle Eastern region, and then it's going to spread into Europe and then into the world. It's going to have a domino effect on the United States and our enemies and those that we are pretending to be friends with. It's going to affect what China and Russia also do. It's going to spread, folks. And we're going to talk about that on the next program in part two. So, folks, we need to be praying. We need to all be praying. If you have loved ones, if you have children or family members or relatives or friends that are in the age of being drafted, which is at the moment 18 to 26, then be praying for them, folks, and be looking at some options. Now, what do you mean options? Well, there's deferments that are available. If you have a relative or a child that is in that age that qualifies for a draft, at the moment, the way that the policy is spelled out right now for the Selective Service, deferments are available for certain situations, college being one of them or ministry being one of them. If someone's going to go into the ministry, they can get a deferment while they're in college. And then after that, they will have to serve, but then they can serve as a maybe as a chaplain or something. Man, Nathan, what are you trying to do? Cause people to dodge the draft? No, that's not what I'm doing. When this war gets started, folks, people are going to die. Our sons and daughters are going to die. Thousands. And if this thing really gets going, they're going to die by the tens of thousands. So that's why we need to be praying right now. It's time to be putting this on the table. If you have some extra time, go to the Selective Service website and read. Get familiar with the policy. If you have a son or daughter that qualifies, you need to go read that. And you need to maybe talk about it or pray about it. Nathan, if the war starts, I want my son to pay his service time because everyone in my family does it. Okay, if that's your family and it's a noble thing in your family, then fine. We all have a choice, don't we, folks? But I'm talking about for those who don't want to send their kids to fight for the New World Order or for the beast or for the armies of the Antichrist. You know, if that might be you, then this is something to look into. Man, Nathan, you don't have to say it like that. Well, at the moment, that's what I think it is, folks. It's one of them. It's fighting for the New World Order or fighting for the bankers, fighting for the military industrial complex, fighting for John Bolton, or fighting for a stubborn president. We are not being threatened by Iran right now. We're not. They're not threatening us. But the United States wants to do something to them and hurt them, and they want this war. And by the way, I mentioned at the beginning of this program that America and Iran are found in the scriptures, and they are. And in upcoming portions of this series, I don't know if I'll touch it on the next one, because I can already see that it's going to take at least two more parts to talk about all of this stuff. We're going to break it down and look into the scriptures and see where America fits in the Bible and also what Iran's role is going to be in the Bible. So with that, folks, I'm going to end the program now. And I want to thank you for listening. Share this program with everyone that you know. Share it with your loved ones, with your spiritual leaders, pastors. Share it with your friends, folks. Let's get the word out. Tell people that Watchman's Cry is a different ministry. We're different, folks. And it's true. I'm up on the wall, and this is what I do. This is my assignment. And I want to warn God's people that we need to get prepared. We need to get spiritually strong so that we can deal with all of this that's taking place. If you appreciate this ministry and my efforts up on the wall, I appreciate your support, folks. And those of you that have been there as part of the Watchman's Cry family, I want to thank you. And I want to just ask that you continue to remember what I'm doing. I intend to have Watchman's Cry as a footprint that's going to help God's people in so many areas. There's a lot of things we're going to be touching in the days ahead. So thank you for being a part of what we're doing. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to the website at watchmanscry.com and you can contact us there. All right, folks? Well, I thank you for listening. Stay vigilant, stay safe, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.